In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What a treat it is for me to be here with you. I have worshiped here as a visitor from time to time since 2014, and I am very excited to do ministry with you all. It's especially encouraging for me to arrive here during Epiphany, because it happens to be my very favorite season of the church year. Since I was little, I loved to hear the story of the wise men figuring out who Jesus was and bringing their extravagant gifts to the barn and the manger. I loved the surprise of realizing who that tiny baby really was. Today's gospel reading concludes Epiphany and prepares us for the way our journey into Lent, Holy Week, and ultimately Easter. Before Jesus journeyed up the mountain with his disciples, he told them what would ultimately have to happen to him. He explained that he had to suffer, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. The whole story of the Transfiguration, as beautiful as it is, happens in the shadow of the cross. Knowing this, Jesus led his disciples up a high mountain alone to pray. The Bible, as you know, is chock full of mountaintop experiences. Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, the temples on the high places. And in the New Testament, Jesus is regularly going up alone on high mountainsides to pray. So we shouldn't be too surprised to discover that something quite remarkable and full of the mystery of God happens to Jesus on that mountainside. His clothes became dazzlingly bright, and the glory of God shone through him. Jesus was not transformed into something new. He was what he had been all along. In the Transfiguration, God enabled his disciples to see Jesus as he truly was, God's beloved Son. Peter was overcome with awe and fear. His immediate reaction was to suggest building some dwelling places right on the spot. And that is actually not such a surprising response. It is, after all, a very human inclination to build something that can predictably contain God. A place where you know for sure God will be. A temple, an ark, a church, a cathedral. These can be a welcome retreat to go to when the world becomes too much to handle or the future is too frightening. It is a good thing to know where God can be found. But there is a certain amount of hubris in the idea that a person can build any kind of a dwelling place that will predictably contain God. If we aren't careful about how we live into our faith, we can become complacent about our worship spaces and our encounters with God in them. And societally, we risk moving pretty rapidly from containing God and God's messengers to restraining God and God's messengers. Last fall, I had a rather startling conversation with a fellow seminarian, a first-year student, about this idea. Shortly after we were introduced, he started to tell me about a particular priest from his parish whom he had disliked. Not this parish. He said, "You know what really bothered me about him? He got political from the pulpit." Needless to say, this sparked a rather lively conversation. In my classmate's mind, how we order our society was something to be dealt with in secular government, not in a church. The church, he said, should mind its own business, spiritual business. Now, don't get me wrong. Neither partisanship nor backing any particular candidate should happen from a pulpit. But the gospel should. It is absolutely the church's business. God cares quite a lot about how we live our lives as God's people, how we order our society, and how we should treat each other and the people in the world we live in. The gospel is, at its very core and essence, political. When someone says, "Don't bring up politics" from the pulpit, it is often a not-so-veiled way of saying that the gospel makes them uncomfortable. It would be so much simpler if we could just keep God in buildings and holy places and only come face to face with God's demands on our lives on Sundays. Then we could be in charge of ourselves during the week, and we wouldn't need to change anything about ourselves and our lives and how we order our society. Now, knowing that we were like this, God came into the world, not just in a particular place and time, but reaching out into the world in the person of Jesus. Epiphany is about realizing who Jesus is and what that means for our lives. The cloud of God's presence descended onto the mountaintop that day, and God said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Note that God did not say that we should simply believe in Jesus and build a place to stay and worship. God came to live and dwell among us. Jesus, God's Son, the Son of Man, was a human being with hands and feet to go about in the world. That fully human person was also fully divine. Emmanuel, God with us. The disciples gave us eyewitness testimony to his identity. God's glory shone in him and through him. After the transfiguration, Jesus and the disciples did not remain where they were and build dwellings. They went down the mountainside and healed a young boy. And then Jesus continued his journey towards Jerusalem. By living in the world with us, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven, healing, teaching, and loving, Jesus turned the power structures of his day upside down. Mary announced this in the beginning in the Magnificat when she first conceived. She said that in that act, God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. These are the things that Jesus came into the world to do. Jesus, the Anointed One, the Messiah, was anointed to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and free the oppressed. Jesus did not get crucified because he was kind. Jesus was crucified because the gospel message is threatening to established powers. Who Jesus was, what he said, and what he did was a threat to the way society and his world had been ordered. The ways that Jesus taught us, the message of the Gospels, is about our ultimate salvation, but it also is a powerful force for social change in the world we live in. To be sure, we are not Jesus, but we are his loving disciples. God instructs us to listen to Jesus, and in doing so, we fall in love with him, and we follow in his ways. We cannot be Jesus, but we can be his hands and his feet in our world. We can change the world we live in and make it a better place, a little at a time. When he was done with his mountaintop experience, Jesus came down with his disciples, healing a young boy. Is God calling you to heal the sick? You could volunteer at the Fan Free Clinic. Are you called to stand up for the oppressed? You could volunteer for Equality Virginia or work the Rape Crisis Hotline at the YWCA. We should never limit ourselves to Sundays and holy places. What we gather together to do on Sundays is intended to empower us to go out into the world and to live the gospel. Come to this table and see the glory of the living Christ in the mystery of bread and wine. Allow yourselves to be transformed in that encounter. At the end of the service, remember to get back on the road. Continue journeying with Christ. Live the gospel in the world, empowered but unbounded by these walls. Amen.